You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Okay, welcome back. Welcome back on a late night edition of The Break Room. I got a wrinkled white tee. It's okay. Don't judge me.
I got a wrinkled black tee.
There you go. There you go. Girl, I had a long day. First of all, before I say girl, I want to welcome back my homie, my comrade. Like I said, someone that I value so much. I am proud of the work she's doing. I always appreciate her candor. She's so warm and sweet, and I truly appreciate her. Miss Sin is back. Miss Cynthia, how you doing?
Good, good. And yourself?
A long day, as you know.
Yeah.
That we can't talk about. I had a long day. And I'll say this abstractly. It's always interesting. You can relate to this, I think. It's always interesting when you are the office topic of the day or the office conversation of the day. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, in your head, and you know, outside these walls, your immediate walls, people are chattering and talking about something involving you. But in your immediate circle, people are being respectful and not really broaching it like that. And I'm going to say this, Sin. I have the kind of temperament and style where, like, I want people to know, yo, if you feel like you want to talk to me about something, I am approachable. As long as you're respectful.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're respectful. But if you pull me to the side, like, yo, this is what's going on.
Well, you know, people like to add their own razzle-dazzle to stories to make it more interesting and things like that.
The telephone game. Yeah, human beings, man, that's what we are. We're a big telephone game. And I want people to know that with me, I am approachable. I'm respectful. And I always try to leave a conversation with you understanding me more. You know what I'm saying? Or hopefully I did a good job in doing that. So, you know, and I've been on the other side, too, where, like, something's going down the job. Like, word, you see what's going on down there? Like, it's crazy, whatever. But I do care about that person and what they're going through in that moment, because I hate to see good people, regardless, you know, feel weird or insecure in the moment or feel like they're in a bind or embarrassed or whatnot. Not that I was today. I wasn't.
Everybody handles things differently.
Yeah, yeah. But that was my day, more or less. But we were talking earlier, and you said you have a question for me to open up the episode. What is that question?
Yes. So I was on Instagram the other day, and someone posted, no, it was actually a reel. And it was like a reel of a couple going into the car, and then the girlfriend goes up front to the passenger seat. And then the boyfriend is like, no, like, my mom is coming. So she sits in the front, and then they just basically started going back and forth. So my question to you, Mike, is, in that situation, who drives shotgun? You have a wife, so your wife or your mom?
I know what the answer is supposed to be.
But what does that mean, supposed to be?
I'm a little weird and a little different, so bear with me when I say this. I might say the wrong answer, but I don't mean it. The right answer is what I mean. I would absolutely have my wife in the passenger seat, regardless. So Jesus could fly down and need a ride to the
gas station. See, but I agree with that.
Jesus, you get in the back seat, Jesus. You're healing and all. That's cool. That's fine. My wife's in front. That's just the rule. That's what it is. But what I will say is, and I sometimes feel, I feel not disappointed, but I feel like with women is with this question, because I've heard it before. Wish some women would understand why a guy might choose his mother in the passenger seat for other reasons. For instance, not because he's a mama's boy, but because he knows his mama has a certain condition with her body, her leg is whatever, or she's older and more frail now, and she needs more care, and you're still young and viral and virile, and you're more limber. You don't need the front space and the leg room like she does. You know, there is that aspect that some men do still carry. Like, some men are such gentlemen that they not only prioritize their wife, they prioritize people who are smaller than them or weaker than them. And there is a gentleman aspect to it, too. But
wouldn't the smaller and weaker person go in the back, though? Because, for instance,
it depends. Like
babies.
Go ahead.
Babies cannot be in the front because they're small and fragile, yada, yada. They have to, because the back is safer. So if you have a mom that's, like, weak or whatever and fragile, like, shouldn't then she go to the back?
It depends on the vehicle. You know, sometimes the back seat is, smaller space than the front. It depends. Like, listen. Every dude, just do your wife or your girlfriend. It is what it is. Like, you need to shut up. Like, stop whining about it. It is what it is. So the right answer is your partner. But I don't mind seeing men still prioritize their mother strongly in their life. I know women wrestle with the idea of, is this guy a mama's boy? Is he baby? Is he pampered? And a lot of men are. Guys, a lot of you are pampered and you never were pushed to be an independent.
So I think that's my
man.
Problem because of, like, right. I don't want to use the word trauma, but I guess trauma. I was in a relationship where the guy was a mama's boy and the mom would always try to run me and the relationship. So because that's why I'm like, no, like, I'm never going to let that happen.
Made him a mama's boy. What are the characteristics of a mama's boy?
To put always it more running general. To their mom for everything and anything, small and big, instead of just trying to figure it out for themselves. And also involving the mom in the relationship situations, like whether it's good or bad, that they're always like letting the mom know what happens.
I agree. Some things should be sacred and you shouldn't involve your family and your partner business because they're with you for life. Your family, though they should be, and they'll be biased. So they're not credible people to give you.
Yeah,
and fair,
for instance, like,
counsel.
If they vent to them about something, they could take it a completely different way because of their own, like you said, biases and traumas and interpretations of things. And now they're going to look at you and treat you differently based off of what, you know, he said to her. And it wasn't even like that. The mom just took it that way. But now she feels a type of way with you because, you know, she was told whatever.
I agree. I hear it's a lot from women that they are frustrated with a lot. And I'm like, damn, there's that many mama's boys out there? Damn. Like, I have a loving mother myself, and she definitely took care of me growing up. She made sure I had the flyest clothes. She took pride in styling me and stuff. But she also would love to embarrass me. And when I say embarrass me, I don't mean play. I mean, like, if I was acting a fool or acting up, outside around my friends, she would love to relish in the moment of breaking me down in front of them to let them know, like, you're not God's gift. And it seems like a lot of dudes are walking around with, like, they think they're God's gift and their mom never checked them. You know, they only indulged in it and you know, add to it. And I feel terrible for women who go through the dating pool of that, you know. I have a thing about my mom and my sister, especially my sister, where, like, I can't refuse them. I cannot refuse them. My sister could be like, I cannot refuse my sister. And that may be problematic in general. I don't think my wife really cares. But when I was dating, some girls maybe found it funny. But, like, as a younger brother of a sister that's 4 years older than me, I always idolized her. And I always felt bad for her because she was a sister who was the firstborn. So she took a lot of the brunt of, you know, tough parenting. You know what I'm saying? So I always had a soft spot for her. So to this day, you know, if she needs something from me, I will drop what I'm doing and just, yeah. And I make no apologies about it, too. I'm very arrogant about it. Like, I don't give a fuck. That's my sister. Like, it is what it is. And, you know, I had a friend of mine who passed away in 2014. She was killed by her boyfriend, her baby father. And, you know, I watched how she had a bunch of siblings. We grew up together. And I watched how her older brother, who used to be a playful bully, like flick you in your ear, give you a noogie. He was that older brother type. bully you, but with love, tough love. I watched his demeanor change when his sister was, when his sister, rest in peace, Shannon, when she was murdered. Like, for sure. You know, he don't have that same, it's like shrunken now. And it's like, so I see what loss can do, especially loss of a sister, can do to a man. And I'm just like, listen, I kind of take the time to cherish my mom and my sister because, you know, I think a woman's journey can offer you so much, especially when it comes to endurance. You know, women are asked to endure a lot. You know, you're a single mother, whatever, that's normal. Endure for the next 18 years. He ran out on you, whatever, you'll be all right, you'll bounce back. You know, women are asked to endure. So there's a certain strength that you guys carry unfairly. And I try to learn from that. You know what I'm saying? Cause a lot of men are weak on the flip side. A lot of men will, you know, run when they see a mouse. You know what I'm saying? Like, they, you know, like if their girl or if their woman, I'm sorry, shows some independence and like, God forbid, she's her own sexual creature, they'll get insecure and shut down and, you know, whatever. So a lot of men are weaker than women emotionally. So for that reason, I've always valued my mom and sister where like, I wanted to make sure that they know that I'm down for them. But like you said, there's a fine line between being a good brother or son or being a
because you like
mama's boy.
I'm not taking that away from you, like when it comes to your mom and sister. But then how about how your wife feels? And just in general, like not just Kia.
No. I know. You're supposed to be taking care of your castle. You made a new castle with a new family, with a new person, with a new partner. Even if you have no kids or nothing, and you're not married. If you breaking bread and rent and bills with a new partner, that's your teammate. That's your number one teammate. And she has to know that when you're in the foxhole together, you got her back. You know what I'm saying? And firstly, because she's invested in you. So investment is key here. And at some point, your mom is still emotionally invested in you, but otherwise, you have your own responsibilities away from her, especially if you moved out. But I get it. But I wish some women who are in the dating scene, they recognize that some men are innate protectors. And also they didn't get a good job by both parties, men and women. They didn't get a good job growing up of being nurtured enough to, and properly nurtured, not pacified, not spoiled, or properly nurtured to then not need mama's titty no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we're doing a bad job raising men as a community, which then turns them into mama's boy. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you need too much tough love, but there's a balance that we don't participate in. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, I know that's a long-winded answer. But yeah, I feel you. I mean, listen, I was talking to person A earlier. I'll say person A. And person A was telling me how, like, Mike, where's all the providers? Where are all the providers? A lot of men today aren't providers. And I asked person A, how do you define a provider? And she couldn't give me a clear, like, thorough answer, but it kind of centered around the idea of, like, I need a man who's going to make sure that, like, he can hold me down with some discretionary funds.
But I feel
funds.
That's
like,
your own responsibility.
I'll take care of my hair and nails.
Like,
and,
you should want to upkeep, you know, yourself. Like, why would you depend on a man to do that for you when that's something you should already be doing?
I think person A represents some people out there, and in this context, women, who feel like on a small, even if it's a small level, because person B was definitely was talking like this to me later on, that on some level, a man should be like, steadily, like showing romance through like gifts and surprises, and
right? And that still doesn't have any emotional
and all that entails money.
Value to
all
it. That that's just material stuff.
Well, this is why I get along with you, Cynthia, because you are very spiritually tapped in with your humane side. Not saying person A or B or other people aren't. Maybe it comes in other ways. But you are someone who's spiritual, and you have the gift to see someone for who they are, not what they can provide. And I think what you say makes sense. Like it should be about the human, about the inside, but...
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Some people feel like, yo, I need to be entertained too. Life is hard. You know, if you're going to take me out or we're going to be together and I'm going to do things for you, whether it's cooking for you, you know, giving you sex, which first of all, I hate when women say that, like, I'll give you sex. It's like, you like sex too. But I think some women feel like there should be a transactional situation going on with our relationship, or you should be spoiling me a little bit. Because person B was like, yeah, you know, I have a new guy and it's all good. And, you know, it's going great, but I have to realize he's not like my ex in the fact where my ex, he was a dirtbag through and through. He's a dirtbag.
That's exactly why when they shower you with all those things, because they're trying to keep a blind eye. Like, they're trying to distract you from what they're actually doing. So they could give you gifts, they could do this, they could do that. And it's really so you could kind of be blinded to what they're actually doing behind the scenes. That's why all of that doesn't really mean anything to me. I mean, don't get me wrong. Of course I want to be spoiled. Every girl wants to be spoiled. But I need more than that. Because, again, they could give you all of these things and still be an asshole or still be doing their dirt. So it's like, then what's the point of all of these gifts? Now these gifts mean absolutely nothing.
And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, the way you worded it. Because for person A, we had a discussion where the idea was, would you rather be with the prototypical hustler, whether legal or illegal, always getting his money, always on his grind, you know, always focused on progressing with his finances, but he may not have the skills to be attentive to you, to be alert to you, to be in tune with your emotions, to be courteous about your union with him. He just focused on showering you with gifts, but moving his life. Or do you want the guy? And she was like, no, the guy who's sharing 50-51 bills and finances and stuff, but he's there for you. He connects with you. He cares about you. And some women, including those two I was talking about, they struggle with letting go of the first guy, because even though he's not there for you, even though he cheats on you, even though, you know, he is not a good partner per se.
It just sounds like they don't want to hustle for theirs. They just want everything to be
handed to them. That word provides is such a huge word that we hear. Yeah, that's, you know, I can't say that as a dude, because they'll say, now, Mike, you know, that's not what it is. But some men feel this way. Like, Sin, let me deviate a little bit. This is a new phenomenon going on. And there's data to back it up.
Because of that reason.
A lot of men are not pursuing women no more. They're not dating as much. Yeah, they're not having sex even. They're not drinking. They're not going to bars to socialize.
Because now if they go out to a bar to have a drink or try to kick it to a female, now they have to be buying this person drinks after drinks after drinks. And now they just blew all their money just for this girl to give them some type of attention. And it's like, for what? Because then when you actually get to know the person, it's like, yo, I don't even like this girl. Now I just blew all this money for what? And then they're going to keep expecting that too.
Yeah. I mean, I was that young guy. It's 2025 now. But in 2005, I was working at Home Depot, 18-year-old going on 20. And me and my boys after work would go to Houlihan's in Jersey and go to a bar. And, you know, it can get expensive, you know, eyeing a girl down the bar, a drink or two or three or four or five. And she's still like, all right, well, I'll see you later. I'm going home. It's like, what? Oh, I thought we had a good conversation. I thought we were going to exchange numbers. I guess not. Whatever. So, you know, there is a risk, a financial risk when you're a man out there in the dating scene. You have to know as a dude, if you're outside trying to date, make sure your bread is up, because it costs to date. It costs. And a lot of men today seem to be rejecting that cost.
Say,
you know what? What's the point? I could be my own silo, my own couch, my own headphones, talk to my boys all day, and I save money. And, you know, there's a shrinkage going on with populations, and not just in America. Korea, I saw alarming rates all over the place. There's a lot of people are not connected no more, you know? And I feel bad to see that, because I feel like there are women out there who deserve love and they deserve connection. But I feel like some men today are so scarred about the former process of attaining love that they're pulling back. And some of these dudes, well, also, nothing, well, being whiny about it too. Yeah.
But also, like, I will say that like everything now is super expensive. So it's like, you should be able to also provide for your man too. Because how is that fair? So you just expect for a man to pay for your hair, pay for your nails, pay for new sneakers, pay for your clothes, pay all the bills. And what are you providing? Just sex? Like, they could go to get a freaking prostitute, pay for sex, get whatever they need to get, and that's it, and then be over and done with it.
Yeah. I think if sex work, I always jokingly say, if sex work was real, or if a third gender came down from the sky, or an alien came down from the sky and offered males another alternative, women, you might see a shrinkage of the dating pool even more. Because I would say that when I was a man, a bachelor, you know, it was hard trying to figure women out. You know, there's a lot of pressure that I don't think men speak enough about when it comes to trying to curate romance, trying to cultivate romance. You know, damn, did I do the right thing there? Damn, see, did she fuck with that?
And the sad thing is that like there that are a lot of ways wrong thing to there? Be romantic stumble? That doesn't stutter? Cost oh my much. Gosh. But am then I, you know, if it was to do that, the female will still complain like, oh, look at this cheap guy, or he don't got money, and try to like play them. And there's a lot of videos that I've seen on Instagram and stuff of like, for instance, I saw a guy went to take a girl to Starbucks like as a first date. And she was like recording him, like trying to play him like, oh, look at this bum dude, da da. And it's like, why should a guy take you to a 5-star restaurant off rip? Like, that don't make no sense. Like, I wouldn't do that if I'm a guy. Like, we're going to go get ice cream and have a conversation. Let me see where your mind is at. Let me see how intellectual you are. Let me see if you can hold a conversation. Let's see, like, what depth you have in order for me to want to take you to a 5-star restaurant.
I agree. You know, a woman is an investment in the context of dating. A woman is a good woman is an investment. So like when you are in a risky investment, you know, when you're taking a woman out, you need to make sure that like she's worth your time, worth your energy, worth your gas, worth your money, and that you see a potential return on the investment down the line. That's the wish. That's the whole guy is going through. And let me tell you, ladies, a guy is, if he really likes you, he's driving himself crazy trying to make sure he don't fuck this up. So he's making sure like he looks good, he feels good about himself, that he has the right words, that he's paying attention. And, you know, I want scarred women who have some legit gripes on why they're scarred. I want them to either A, widen their swimming pool to make sure they're not missing out on good gems, and also have a little more grace with men who really mean to be a mate.
Yeah, I've been caught up like, just
ladies,
like that too.
You know, yes, some men are just actors. That you thought they were good men, but they really were scumbags. Fuck them. And fuck them. I'm sorry. I apologize for them. But I'll also say,
you know,
sometimes,
he doesn't
ladies,
actually want you. He
there's
doesn't
men out there that you have around
you.
On your roster.
He's literally showing you no effort, and yet you're still trying to
prepared
pursue him.
For
if a man really wants you, he's going to show you. But, you know, a lot of times females think, oh, if I do this or that for him, maybe he'll start liking me and this and the third. And it's like, bro, if he don't like you off rip, he's not going to like you. He's only going to like you for what you could do for him. And then he's just going to keep taking advantage of that. The same way how women do it, too.
You can't negotiate effort, and you can't negotiate desire. And usually with effort and desire, we'll see that dude really wants you. On the flip side, too, I saw a video the other day of this TikToker. I think he's a TikToker. He had this like breakdown of like, fellas, how you know a woman loves you or likes you. And the stuff he was saying, I was like, I know what he's talking about. You know, because he was saying stuff like, if a woman starts using your slang, then you know she fucks with you. If a woman starts watching the movies you watch, you know she fucks with you. If she is just randomly checking up on you, you know she fucks with you. And, you know, I always was elated when I would see signs that, oh, she really is digging me. Because what she just told me, how for me a big indicator was like touch. If I was with a woman and I thought she liked me, but I wasn't sure, and she put her leg over mine,
yeah, those are indicators.
Or she kind of like laid on me a little bit in a certain way. I'm like, wait a minute, I think I'm doing good here. Let me not fuck this up.
Yeah.
And I think that part of being romantic, I would tell men, is being open to receiving those indicators, being open to receive a woman. Like, you know, part of like romance is not just like flowers or roses and big expensive like grand gestures. Romance can be isolating and recognizing an individual thing that's important to her and growing it, you know what I'm saying? And giving it back to her in a creative way. Now, that's romance to me. It's the little things, you know? And I feel like as a society, we are, men and women, we are straying away so much from each other. We are ignoring the little things that we all want to be appreciated about each other. You know what I'm saying? To me, saying you're an artist, you're a makeup person and cosmetics and all that stuff. You have a talent in that. And you have a talent just for good art and perception. If a dude's dating you, he should know after a while, like, okay, this is her bag, this is her thing, this is her passion. How can I inject myself into it and let her know that I appreciate her wonder in that? You know what I'm saying? You know, that curiosity and humanity, we've lost it in all of us. You know, we're just like, we're so overworked, we're so pressured, we're so broke, we're so scarred from our past, our traumas, that we're not willing to like rise above in a bickering and, you know, sort of do the whole Christ-like thing of like, yo, how you doing today? And yo, I really appreciate who you are as a person. And
yeah.
Shit like that. We don't give grace no more to each other. So that's why I see the dating pool getting peed on. It's because no one has time for each other and nice to each other. Or not just nice, but kind. Because to me, there's a difference between nice and kind. You could be nice,
have an agenda,
which is performative, or we could be kind.
For instance, like, you know, females just wanting to find somebody
and
that's
no
going to pay
kind
for
no
everything.
Everybody is just
and
mean
just
and upset.
Provide them with everything and anything that they want.
Have an agenda. Yeah, yeah. I could agree with that. Seeing that, I've seen young men be frustrated by that.
Wait, when? What fight?
This is going to sound fucked up. But I try to tell guys, honestly, you're not going to win that fight. So you might as well suck it up and get your hustle on. You know, I don't force the fight of convincing the average woman that just his talent, his personality, and character is enough. That you don't need bells and whistles to try to, like, coax her into going out with you. Bro, she wants those bells and whistles, at least a little bit, at least at first. You know what I'm saying? Now, there's been dude up there who threw it down so well that for the rest of the next 10 years, he could be in sweats all day long and he still got it like that. But you're not that dude. You know what I'm saying? That's a rare person. You know what I'm saying? Or you're not that dude for that woman. That's another thing, Sin. A lot of people are out there chasing above their weight class or above their bracket. You know, like you want a Kim K model. But you're not kidding.
Yeah, and usually
minded,
when that
you know,
happens
Kim
too,
K
they
world.
End
like,
up draining
more
each other
insecure
because then
you're worried
one person
about,
wants to change
you know,
the
what
other
makeup
person
she's wearing and who's her
bring
friend
them
at the
down
table.
To
like,
their level,
you're not
and
a Kim K person.
That's where things go left.
Right. I've seen it. We hear these stories all the time about women who are professionals and women who have made money or are hustlers at least, or are even just around a lot of men in dominated male fields. A lot of dudes have problems with that. They're insecure about their woman stature amongst industry, personnel, gender, or they're insecure about the money that they're not making compared to that woman. And, you know, it's up to men. I think personally, it's up to men to ultimately just like suck it up a little bit because you're not going to win the battle.
But
of
it's like
trying to
that is because
the
they're not with.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. A woman that's meant for
enough.
Them. Because the woman that's
meant
for
up. Them
it
sounds like,
isn't, they're going
to
take
it sounds
them
grim to
off.
Say that out loud, but I just think that ultimately, you're right. Ultimately, you are right because, you know, styles make fights and there is someone out there for you. Do I believe in the concept of soulmate? I'm not saying that. But there is someone out there for you who fits you. You know what I'm saying? If you're a GameStop chick, you know, go find you a GameStop dude. If you're a bougie, I got to be downtown for dinner, you know, with a gown on. You need a dude who wears a tux all day. You know what I'm saying? That's just your styles are your styles. And I feel like we also are being stubborn in saying, ooh, I like that style. Even though it's not for me all the time, I'm going to try to attain that style, even though it might blow up in my face one day, you know? And, you know, we as human beings, we love to like tempt ourselves with a cookie jar. You know what I'm saying? That cookie's not for me, but I'm going to still try to put my hand in it.
To me, I feel like it's the rush of like, I guess, adrenaline,
you know what I'm saying?
Or like and the power behind it. Because it's like, I want to split that for us. Do this. Or like, it's like a battle within themselves. Weird. I don't know if I'm explaining.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No, you're right. You know, I want to ask you a question, a general question about PR. Because you saw Bad Bunny last month, right? Okay. First of all, shout out to you because those tickets were crazy, I'm sure. First of all, when I saw your mom earlier this month, I had to tell her how much your grandmother, her mother, is beautiful. I saw a picture you posted of you and your grandmother. Can you tell me what it was like to go back to PR to see your grandmother and just to be back in a spiritual home? What was that like for you?
In the best way possible. Like, I needed that reminder to remember that I have something so precious and special on that island. Besides everything else that I love about that island, she's the most special thing I have there. So, you know, taking that 2-hour drive to go see her for the day, it was everything I needed to feel whole because I haven't seen her in almost 10 years. That's how long it's been. Yes, because the last 2 times I went to PR, I just stood in San Juan. I didn't really go to that side of the island to go see her. But this time, because it's been so long, I made sure I rented a car to go see her. And I needed that. Yeah.
Good. I'm glad. You know, lately in the last year or two, you've been doing a few spiritual trips abroad. You did a Colombia.
I knew it wasn't going to be something.
I think last year and this
like
year you
his
did PR.
Concert,
what was the Bad Bunny show like? What was that like?
Straight lit, straight party type of album or whatever. This one, it was more cultural, more about the island and, you know, putting shine on what's going on. So I knew it wasn't going to be like party the whole time type of thing. But I enjoyed it. It was dope. It brought a lot of recognition to the island, you know, on so many levels. And that's what made it like so great to me. But you got to go.
I was jealous because I remember you telling me you were going out there. But when you went, when I saw you, you were there. I'm like, oh, man, I'm so jealous because I've been dying to go all my life to PR. Never been. But I know. I'm going to go. I'm going to make sure I go there before I check out, which is years from now. But yeah, I was jealous, but I was happy jealous because whenever I see you travel, I feel like I'm vicariously living your travel through you because, like I said, because you're a humanist, because you're spiritual, because you're cultural, I know you're not just wilding out partying. You actually are intrigued by your surroundings and your environment, and you actually care about taking it all in. So I respect that about you, and I'm happy for you that you went. I'm happy for you.
I plead the fifth.
Is it, are you, should I ask, are you, what's the, I don't want to dry snitch. You plead the fifth. Well, I would say hypothetically, I do wonder, is it weird if someone is dating and going on a trip? Like, let's say I was single, right? Or I was dating. I wonder, I'm trying to think about
it. It depends on how
memory.
Much you respect them, like the person.
If I was
ever
dating somebody, but now,
if you genuinely like that person and respect
on a
them and you just, you like the vibe of what's going on.
I feel beholden to follow
certain
rules.
You could be chilling
and
having a great time
whatnot.
Without doing all that extra shit. Like, all that extra shit doesn't equal having the best time ever. A lot of the time I've had the best times ever didn't involve those type of things.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think when you go away, you should be focused on more than just, you know, being outside, partying. Don't get me wrong. But I do wonder, if you're dating somebody, but it's not exclusive yet, you're not exclusive. And I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about in general. You know, is it a struggle to,
okay,
like,
I will say,
yourself
okay, so
by not fully exploring
I'm gonna tell you
yourself
a story.
On an island or whatever?
The
so
first time I ever went to
I was thinking out loud, you know what I'm saying?
I was
me
in
and
a
my married man, so listen, I go down the street,
and,
I got to make
you know,
sure
I had
I'm
a good time, but we didn't party.
You know what I'm saying?
We didn't do anything of that nature. Like, we weren't, because I went with a friend and her parents or whatever. But, you know, we still did things. We still went out, just not all of that crazy stuff. And, you know, also, I wasn't really into that because, like, I was in a relationship. So I wanted to be respectful, you know, because, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But I really didn't do that. But then when I got out of that relationship, I was like, all right, I need to redo Vegas and do Vegas the right way. But then I went a second time. And then that time I had a fucking black. Partied every single day I was out there. And the last day, we partied so hard. And we said we wasn't going to party, but we partied so hard that we almost missed our flight. Because we went back to the hotel and we were like, all right, like, let's at least take a two-hour nap. And that two-hour nap was that we had to freaking run out of that hotel room. And they were literally calling, like, all right, last calls to board. That's when we got in. So we literally made it within like a five-minute break. Type of thing. If not, the doors would have closed, but it was worth it. It was worth it.
Yeah.
No, we had carry on. Cause it was like a weekend thing. Yeah. But it was dope. Yeah. That time I went with one other girlfriend. So it was just us two. So walking on the strip, you know, the promoters from the clubs were around or whatever. So one of them had stopped
something like that to me before too.
He was like, oh, you know, I'm the promoter from this spot, whatever. Like, I just need your name, blah, blah, blah. So he put my name down. But what he did was he put me in for like four spots, VIP. So we didn't have to wait on no line for none of the spots I went to. Yeah, it was a time.
Shit. Oh, you were, that's that. That's that woman thing, man. You got a little bit of curve, a little bit of smile. You're going to get in. Dude is like, your ball, get it back. Yo, that's crazy. Let me ask you a question. It's late September now. You're a Libra. I'm a Scorpio. So we're fall babies.
Literally, yeah.
I'm turning the big four. I'm now turning a new decade in my life. As we embark on a new birthdays, me and you, and we're both a month apart, I think. I think you're the seventh. Yeah. You're October 17th. I'm November 17th. Where do you foresee this birthday going? And I don't mean the actual date, but this next year
so
for you.
As
where
of
do you
see now, it, you know, yeah, I have been coming thinking out, about this, my birthday and stuff.
This new year for you. Where do you see it going?
I see myself. And what do you want out of it? And I feel myself just like going into more, because I've always been in my me mode, but more so in my me mode. Because, like, you know, I've had a change at work and, you know, I'm completely away from a lot of things. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm happier, because I'm literally out the way, out of sight, and just focusing on myself. I'm not worried about what anybody else is doing. I'm just worried about what I'm doing. And I'm in a space where I just want to protect my energy even more. So I'm just like in my bubble. And I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be disturbed. I don't want to know what you're doing. Don't ask me what I'm doing.
It's all love. God bless you. I'm doing my thing. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that because you've spoken to me about evolution and about the idea of just, you know, shaking up where you are to do something different to see how you react to it. And change can be good. Change can be good. Absolutely. And growth and evolution is part of life. And I commend you and applaud you for taking the reins.
They're afraid of change, so they don't.
And say, you know what? It's time for a change. Let me try this. Let me try that. And I think that's brave. And the reason why I say brave, there's a lot of people out there, Sin, who are just remaining stagnant in their woes. And they stay in their woes. They stay in their sorrow. They stay in what they know. And they cope with whatever mechanisms they have to help them with that. But instead of doing the easier thing, you would think, is to just say, you know what? I'm done with this. Let me move on. Andre 3000 has this lyric where he goes, it's easier to run in the street than to walk in the sand. And I think what he means by that is sometimes it's easier to do the hard thing, not realizing that it's going to have like more effects on you later on versus than just walking in the sand and taking the peaceful route. So like, you know, sometimes we are doing things that we think in the moment are benefiting us. But really, we're just self-medicating and prolonging the real journey down the line, you know? When really, you just start the journey now and it's easier. And I think you're someone who I've always been impressed by because you're always willing to start a journey or to learn something new. And I want you to keep that with you in this next year of yours. I'm always excited for the fall, partially for your birthday.
I do, because I feel it.
I like seeing you grow. And I have seen you grow. from the first time I've seen you to us working together and to me building with you and knowing you, I've always been impressed with you. And I think that you're going to have a good year. I think you're going to have a good year. I think so. I have people around you who were curious about you that I'm fond of, that I love. And I made sure, like, no, I was like, yo, Sin is an awesome person. And I made sure, like, mm-hmm. I told said people, you know, this is a person that's credible, that's good to work with, does her that cares. And I told that person, you'll notice after a while, like, oh, this is a cool ass chick. I'm like, okay.
And for like yourself. Because a lot of times, back too, to the like whole people thing who put things in people's ears.
We have to start getting out of our silos.
Whatever agenda they have.
What we thought about somebody, what we thought we heard about somebody, and not rubbing shoulders with them. Like, oh, you really are a cool motherfucker. And, okay. Yeah. And mind you, and you know what's crazy? Sometimes, you know, I would rather have that even, where it's a devious reason why you misunderstand me, versus sometimes it's the other thing where, like, the wrong thing was said by accident, or had a bad mood that day, or things are misconstrued, and that's it. There's been no opportunity to fix it or to, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes the sleight of hand or the blink of an eye or the wrong second produce a different outcome than what happened 10 seconds later. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's important to give each other grace, because grace allows you to say, hold up, maybe I'm bugging here. Let me be fair and give this person a shot here. And I try to preach that out loud and to people personal to me in my life. So, you know, I preach that message and you know, I think that message has been felt. I'll say, nevertheless, I always root for you. And I always appreciate you because you keep it real, Sin. You be keeping it real. And I like what you said about how, like,
sometimes we need space from people, from environments, from whatever toxic thing you got going on.
Not a lot of people who are hurting, and I'm not saying you're hurting.
Because then, when you do those things, then you reflect.
Advocate for themselves to give each other's selves breaks.
That really made me be that type of person.
Yeah, space.
And that's not the type of person I want to be, or I didn't even see myself becoming that person or being that person.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's always hard to, like, self-regulate or self-analyze because, you know, that means we got to, like, really, like, address some things about ourselves. Like I'm slacking here. I'm slacking there. For me, personally, at this time, it's like, for me, it's not necessarily nutrition, but just the effort for fitness. You know, I'm very inconsistent right now. And I know in my head, like, yo, even though it's late or...
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
Even though it's like 8 o'clock, I finally have some free time on myself. I should get up and just do a mile of running or go to the gym for a late night session.
And I'm happy saying that because to piggyback off of that,
or I make excuses.
I feel like I needed my space for a lot of things because
I gotta work on my evolution. I gotta push myself further
onto me
because no one else will save me.
Your responsibilities are not my problem, nor are they my responsibilities. Like, I got my own shit going on that I need to worry about. And I just can't do this. Like, one, it's not fair to me. And two, messing yourself up because you're not taking responsibility for the things that you need to take care of. Instead, you're trying to put it on me. And then if I say no or whatever the case may be, now you're trying to, you know, make me out to be the bad guy. All because I don't want to do your responsibilities. No, I was never the way I am now. And that's why I am the way I am now. Because I got tired of all that bullshit.
Let me ask you, was there ever a time in your life where you felt like you weren't as good as turning people away or saying no? Or did you always have that in you?
Yeah.
I'll say that I witnessed you be a good friend to people. I witnessed you be a rider to people. And I feel like I would witness you
a lot of
be
people
someone who
take it
would
for granted
always be up for the challenge of friendship.
Whether it could be
and we're
small,
always down to like,
something big,
you know,
that's why
you know,
you can't
do
be,
for others. And
be so nice.
Dare I say, maybe some people took it for granted.
Can be so good maybe, sometimes you know? Because again, then people start taking advantage.
Nah, yeah. And isn't that a shame? You know, isn't it a shame? Like, you know, that it's human nature to take kindness for weakness and to not appreciate it. You know, last week on a news scale, we saw an assassination on television or on your phones and stuff. And listen, I don't care how much you may disagree with someone on their beliefs, on their perspectives on life, etc. If someone is brutally murdered or hurt or injured and they have a family that's going to lose them or whatnot, at some point, you got to say to yourself, listen, human is human. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And at some point, we got to like at least be kind to each other or else this whole institution will never work. And when I say institution, I mean like just like being socially connected as human beings. Like, I'm a big firm believer that it doesn't matter
but
what
that's
we
the
disagree
problem.
Upon.
There's
sin.
A lot of like, people that if you don't agree with
make
them,
sure you feel safe
that they
want to
shame you,
know
you or bash
and
you or make you out
and
to
I
be the villain.
My
and it's like, just because I don't agree with
you,
like, that's so ridiculous and ignorant. Like, everyone is entitled
ego,
to their own
ego
opinion.
Has no place
everyone is entitled to feel the way they feel, how they feel, whenever they feel it. And you can't take offense to that. The same way how you feel, nobody can be mad. So, like, it's just crazy to me how people want to feel the way they feel, but if you feel another way, they feel inferior to you, that they're like, oh no, you're no good, or you're the bad one, or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. They get on their high horse. They wag their finger. They make it seem like you're less than, like you said, inferior, or that you're not as moral as them. Like, there's this high and mighty tone that comes with, my opinion is better than yours, and that's not that spirit means you're not in the spirit of learning from each other. I whenever I meet somebody who has various varying opinions about whatever,
that's because you're an open-minded person.
What I try to do is always try to like
that. There's people that
like,
aren't
try to gain insight on why they feel that way. So like I get more wonders about their background, about their journey, about what led them to this opinion, what experiences did they have that made them come to this conclusion. And it's unfortunate. And I feel like, even me aside, I feel like we're just losing, as humans, the ability to embrace each other. It's like I said earlier, we're just so caught up in our egos. Our egos have been dominating our compassion for years now. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I try to keep you close to me. I try to reach out to you, Sin, and I try to make sure that you're at arm's length, because You're the last of the Mohicans. You're like you're a rare breed.
Conversation's getting juicy. That's why
can have this empathy and have this compassion, still with the confidence of a difference of opinion. So I appreciate that about you. But I mind you, it's mad late, but I'm still riding with you. I know, right? I want to ask you because, like I said, I'm turning 40, and you know, in 2022, I had a colonoscopy where they found, I think it was 2022, where they found the polyp. It could have been cancerous, so they got rid of it. Yep. And you remember, like, you know, I just read about this girl. She's a gamer. She's like some, like, TikTok gamer, a streamer. She was 21 years old, and she died today from colon cancer. I'm just like, 21 years old? What I'm about to ask you is, you know, whether it was Chadwick Boseman, he was 43, like the Black Panther, when he died of cancer. And, you know, a lot of people are dying early in life. It's just in general. Have you had this thing in your life yet?
Where
you wonder about your mortality? Where you wonder about...
I feel like when you start thinking about that, not that it's dark, but it is
your mortality,
dark.
But
it's a dark
what happens next to you?
Because it's inevitable.
What happens next
it's
around you?
Happen.
What happens in the aftermath
so
of your presence?
That's why you have to
like,
live
have you had
life
that
every day.
Question about mortality
like,
yet? Or are you just
you
living
know,
in
sometimes,
life?
I mean, sometimes I do OD. But, like, there'd be days where, like, for instance, I don't want to cook. And I'm like, damn, like, do I really want to go out and spend money on food when I could just cook something? But then I'm like, but then if I cook something, I got to season the meat and then do this and then do that and then wash the dishes. And then I'm like, you know, fuck that shit because, like, I could be gone tomorrow. So let me go get what I want to get and just have a peaceful rest of the day. And I don't have to worry about doing the dishes or nothing like that. I go get my food, eat, and then, boom, take a shower, get into bed.
I ask because... like I said, I'm turning 40 this year, and you know, especially for black men, but men in general, as you get older, you know, shit starts breaking down faster. You know, poor lifestyle catches up with you, and this is the prime time to get it right before it's too late. But today, well, yesterday, September 18th, you know, my old high school classroom friend Brandon Koch, He had a wake today for himself. He passed away a month ago. And he had a wake today, and I couldn't make it. I tried to make it. I had a lot going on, and so much, you know, my day. And so much was going on after work that I couldn't make it. His wake was like from 4 to 7, which is kind of early. Usually wakes go longer. So I couldn't make his wake, and I can't go to his funeral tomorrow. But, you know, thinking about Brandon Koch, rest in peace. You know, Brandon was a dude who was like, growing up, he was the class clown. You know, like always joking, always giving positive energy, always smiling, always pushing good energy. And, you know, to see him, you know, die at 40, it's like, damn, like life is short, you know? I think about grief because I know we all grieve differently. And I have people in my life who've come and go, grandparents, an aunt that was close to me, friends, cousins. I've had various people in my life come and go, so I'm used to death.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I grieve sometimes. It varies. My grief can be very strong for someone. And remember, grief is not just the dead. You can grieve a friendship that's lost. I think we talked about this before. A friendship that's lost, a love that's lost. But I tend to either fixate.
I feel
on
like
grief,
when I was younger, I didn't handle it the way
that's what happened,
I do now.
And I just ignore it afterwards.
Now, like I was saying earlier, I don't be caring. I really don't.
Do you feel like as you're
getting
older?
And I don't mean that in like a disrespectful way or nothing like that.
You lose people in your life, whether
like,
through friendships or whatever.
I'm just so in my own space.
Do you feel like you're handling it well or
like,
do you feel like
I'm just focusing on myself and what I need to get done. That is like, if you still ride it with me, ride it with me. And if not, then not. And a lot of the times, like there's certain people that I just don't want in my space for certain things because, you know, the secret animosity and all that shit is very real. And I think that's why I want to be to myself now even more, because it's like I don't want that type of energy around me. So now, like when it comes to like friendships and stuff like that, I'm like, again, like whatever. But like family too, to be honest, because family could be just as toxic and but like in regards to grief as in like death, I haven't experienced that. Like I haven't lost anyone close to me, so I really don't know how I would take that. Blessed and cursed, because since I don't know how I would take it, I don't know if I will go down in a spiral or what, which I'm trying not to, because, you know, God bless both of them, both my parents, but I think they will be the ones that, like, I will probably lose my shit compared to everyone else. But that's why...
You're blessed in that way.
You know, and
You're
it's
blessed.
Not to sound fucked up, but, you know, I live alone and stuff like that, so I try to live as if I don't have my parents, because right. My mentality is, okay, I need to learn how to live as if they're not here, so that way the day that they're not here, I know how to keep living. Don't get me wrong. I still hit them up when I need a little something. Like, you know, got Downy or whatever. Like,
I respect that. Makes sense. Yeah. And it's a blessing to have them. Oh, it's a blessing. You know, I like what you said about secret animosity, because, you know, I, as a dude, and I'm sure there's women go through this too, as a dude, especially when you're younger, there's this competitive thing amongst guys where they feel like they got to flex on you. They got to run faster than you, do activities better than you, sports, et cetera. It's just always a constant competition. And a lot of my guy friends growing up, they would reject the idea that I didn't want to compete with them. Like, I wouldn't give them the satisfaction. You know, like if we're playing ball, because we're naturally playing ball against each other. But even then, I wouldn't take it to the level that you are. Like I was, in other words, I've never been the type to try to compete with friends. Because I feel like through that may come resentment or toxic envy. And I feel like it's better to be someone's cheerleader or supporter, you know what I'm saying? And be influenced by them to do your own thing. Like, yo, my friend has got an A in that test. I need to step my game up and match their speed. Mm-hmm. But not on some like, I got to like, outshine them. Like, outshine somebody. As long as you're winning and I'm winning, cool. You know what I'm saying? And even if I'm not winning, I'm still going to celebrate your win. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like more people today, they don't know how to be friends because they don't know how to put down their ego and be a good supporter. You know what I'm saying?
And it's so not even like to be disrespectful or like to come from like a hating type of place. It's just
because
I really don't care. Like if you're doing good, great.
I'm
like,
not competitive with
you know,
others. I'm more competitive with myself.
You, whatever the case
if I had a certain
like,
grade
you know,
last semester, I'm like,
for
I could
you
be better
than
that.
Something.
So I try to challenge myself, but.
Other than that,
I'm on the same tip where I don't care about others. You know what I'm saying?
Do what you're doing. Do it in your space. Don't try to, again, don't try to come to mind, because a lot of the times too, I don't really like to, you know, ask people questions on what they're doing and stuff like that, because then that opens a door for them to ask you questions. And it's like, I don't want to be asked nothing. Don't ask me what I'm doing. Don't ask me what my next move is. Don't ask me nothing. There you go. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Or at the very least, I don't want my peace disturbed. You know, that's what it is. And a lot of people don't, I remember a year or two ago, you were on a mission to make certain, to make sure your peace wasn't disturbed. And I think some people who don't understand that may feel slighted at first, but it's a very, it's,
you start, you know,
I want folks to understand, it's not a slight towards you, more so it's me protecting my peace and making sure I'm focused on my goals. You know what I'm saying? Because if I allow you to come into my world, yeah, you may be entertaining in the moment, but am I being productive?
I got more to say.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm protected, productive and protective. All right, cool. I like that. And on that note, we're going to need a part
love you
two,
always.
Really part three.
That's your back always,
maybe
too.
Maybe sometime next week.
All right, later.
All right, my love. Oh, you have more to say? So I'll tell you what, because it's late. I tell you what, jot down some ideas and we'll reconvene sometime next week. All right, mama. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate this. Love you always. You're the best. Awesome. We talk later. All right.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.